Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. So gear up and stock up for the weekend. Make sure you're fully stocked for the weekend to watch Phillies playoff baseball, Penn State, Michigan, Alabama, Tennessee, Cowboys, Eagles, big, big sports weekend. So gear up now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is so important, and a fabulous service department that backs all of it up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, a lot going on in today's show. Reginald Walker will join us from New York. We will talk with him a little bit about media, actually, today, because he's at a media conference today in New York. So we'll talk to Reginald about that. Nate Bauer on Penn State, Michigan, coming up. John Bacon on Penn State, Michigan, coming up. And Aeneas Hawkins, who will join us in a few moments here in the Sunbury Motors studio on Penn State, Michigan, coming up. So we got a lot on tomorrow's game, which will be a noon kickoff. 10:30 will be the airtime from Ann Arbor as Penn State takes on Michigan. Michigan 6-0, Penn State 5-0 on the season. One quick note, Scott Dochterman from The Athletic is going to join us next Thursday. Scott had a sit-down with Commissioner Kevin Warren talking about expansion and where everything stands in the Big Ten with that. And really a big-picture interview with him. And the commissioner is far more measured in his comments now than he was during the course of football media days in late July. Coming up, we'll talk to Aeneas Hawkins as we continue, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Joining us now is Aeneas Hawkins here in the Sunbury Motors studio. You know, Aeneas, I always love the run out at Michigan. You run out in the field, right? Michigan sprints across, hits the banner. Meanwhile, the Penn State sideline is right in front of the tunnel. You run out and like, okay, we're here.
Crickets.
Crickets. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Staying busy.
Oh, I know you're staying busy. Bye weeks, especially 5 weeks in, everybody's bumped and bruised. Everybody. Practice players are. So what does a bye week do for at least the healing process while still trying to stay sharp football-wise?
Yeah, well, if you're lucky enough to be one of the guys that's playing enough to be beat up and bruised, it's obviously a great opportunity to get healthy. That's number one. That's the most important thing that you get out of a bye week. But aside from that, you know, some people kind of misinterpret it as a week off. It really isn't that. And Mr. Jones is laughing because he knows the deal. You know, it's really just another week of preparation. And the only difference is, you know, from Friday to Saturday, there are no football responsibilities. That little day and a half, 2 days that you get, you know, physical recovery is important too, but it also gives you a second to kind of separate yourself from the game and get around family, get home, which is important for keeping a team locked in for a whole year.
When you were playing, did you watch a lot of football on TV?
I watch no football on TV. I mean, almost none. You don't get to watch very much college football.
Right.
And then Sundays you're in the facility, you know, watching film from the game before that same day.
Right.
So,
see, I think everybody thinks like the play, hey, it's an off week. I'm going to watch all these games. Like, I'm not going to watch any games.
No.
I'm going to go. No. I'm going to have a life.
Yeah. No, the last thing you want to do on your bye week is watch more football. I'll tell you what, that's a promise.
Because that's all you're doing is watching football.
That's it. I actually was just telling my family this is the first time I've turned on football games and like been excited to watch because I'm not in it anymore. I'm not. You know, it's like having your favorite meal 17 times a week. You know, it gets old quick. Go ahead.
Do you watch games? Because of all the film you've watched, you know, film's an old phrase, but okay. All the video that you had to watch of practice, of the opponent, whatever. Do you watch games differently now?
I watch games like I watch film now. You know, you spend so long studying tendencies, looking at schemes. For me, like, I love watching different defenses across the country and across levels because there are certain parallels that you get with all of them, but then there are certain things that you see that you hadn't seen before. I just texted P.J. Mustipher. The Chiefs played last week on Sunday night, and I saw him run a stunt and run a corner blitz on the same side, and I texted him, like, hey, this is cool. Like, but that's how football players are watching games.
Have you watched much of Michigan yet?
Yeah, I've watched a few of their games. Their D-line stands out immediately to me.
What's interesting about that, they've started a game this year where they started with five DBs, but then this week they started in an old-fashioned Oklahoma 52 defense.
Yep.
And the Okie defense,
yeah.
Right? Because they put Harrell up on the line of scrimmage. So what did you think of the 5-2 Okie look?
Yeah, I hate to say I'm a fan of anything that Michigan does, but I love a 5-2 Okie. I love seeing it. You don't see it as much anymore. But it comes back to the idea of giving teams as much as possible to deal with on film because it gives them more that they have to prepare for. And, you know, in some ways you don't know what to expect when you walk in on Saturday.
Why do you like the 5-2 Okie?
I think you can just kind of dial up some unique pressures out of it. It's not something that O-lines are seeing a lot of during the season. So, you know, anytime you can give them a look that they haven't seen a whole lot of, it's going to cause problems just because there's so many calls that an offensive line has to make to protect efficiently. And that's really the biggest thing to me.
Because I remember when back in the days, you ask your father about this. The Patriots, when Chuck Fairbanks came in from Oklahoma, he put in essentially an Okie.
Yep.
With the Patriots, but it was called a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think those two linebackers
right.
are?
Right.
Exactly. Where do you think Lawrence Taylor played?
No doubt.
About when it comes down to that. What have you thought about the different looks Manny has dialed up defensively for Penn State?
Yeah, I think they cause a lot of problems for opposing offenses. And I've said this before, I think, you know, just in comparing Coach Pry's defense and Diaz's defense, you know, both of them have had success. And both of them were great defensive coordinators. But Diaz has a little bit more aggression in him, and he's giving a lot of different looks for what those pressures may be. And again, it makes it so hard for an offense to prepare and to know what they're going to get on third and longs, and that's half the battle a lot of times.
And everybody, when it comes time to comparing one guy to another, I always caution everybody, Brent dialed up defenses that matched his personnel.
Absolutely.
Manny is dialing up defenses that matches his current personnel. That's what, you know, and that's what the really good ones do. That's why Brent was really good, and that's why Manny is really good.
And there is a difference in the personnel just in last year to this year. I think if Coach Pry were here this year, he'd probably be dialing up more pressures than he would have in the past because he has the horses to do it, especially when you talk about the secondary who can go man up a lot of times and win their one-on-ones.
I was listening before James came on to Sirius, and they had a Michigan guy on who covers them for, I don't know what, some online, whatever they do, a podcast, who cares? And he's talking about the Penn State secondary, so something, all the yards they've given up and so forth. Have you watched the tape?
Yeah.
I sat there like, I almost pulled over the side of the road. I wanted to call. I said, have you watched any tape?
You can tell when guys are watching films. They'll say things like that.
He's like, I mean, look at the stats. Don't look at the stat sheet. Watch the game.
No doubt.
I couldn't believe it.
It's ridiculous.
I could not believe it. Because I feel like they've been the strength of this thing. You know, in terms of like how they play. Everything sets up everything else. That's why I look at the last three games. You look at PJ the last three games.
Yep.
What, you know, he may not be the same guy as maybe before, but the last three games, he sure does look like it.
He's making huge strides every week. You know, I first kind of called it out in that Auburn game where I saw flashes where he looked special again. But now that Northwestern game, the goal line stand, the way he was playing in the run, if they can continue to let him progress like that, if he continues to take those strides, I don't see why he can't get back to where he was. Because to be honest, just watching the film, he's not as far off as people think he is.
Right.
And he's right there. And again, we're playing Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State. We're going down the pipe here, and it's going to be huge to have that guy back in the middle playing high-level football.
When you watch the Penn State running game, what everyone's and justifiably talks about the offensive line and the tight ends and what they mean, especially what Strange has done. But what can the quickness of a running back mean to an offensive line, especially from a defensive player's point of view?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, just as a defensive lineman, it gives you, it kind of puts you in a cage in a little bit, in a little small kind of way, because realistically, if you're not in your gaps, if you're not being sound in everything that you do, you get a Nick Singleton back there. If he sees it, he can cut back immediately and go make those plays. And every running back can't do that. And there's only a small percentage of them who are capable of doing it. But when you have a guy like that, even if the offensive line is not protecting or is not run blocking as well as they should, there's still opportunity to go hit your head off the goalpost. Because, again, at the college level, every single play, the defensive line is not going to be where they need to be. There's going to be a guy out of a gap, and those guys who are special enough to find it can go make big plays happen because of it.
Right, and we've seen both of them, and Allen, do
absolutely
that for Penn State to this point. We talk about situational football. I can only think of one time, and it was that pass down the sideline, that Northwestern had.
Yep.
I think it's the only time I can think all season where somebody got behind the secondary.
Yeah.
So discuss the mentality of a defense understanding down in distance in situational football.
Yeah, I mean, it changes how you play snap to snap. You know, Coach Pry used to preach, I know Diaz is preaching a lot, Franklin, you know, he's a big situation guy. Every play, you're looking at the sticks, you're looking at the time on the clock, you're looking at where you're at on the field, because all of those things dictate how you play. And just from a defensive line perspective, the way I get in my stance, the way people pass rush or decide to play the run pre-snap changes based on those situations. It's no different in the secondary. The thing that I've liked seeing is the way they've played aggressively in short yardage situations, coming up, playing press man and not really allowing receivers space to operate and to set their routes up. And in a lot of ways, that sets up the defensive line to go pass rush when it turns into pass in those third and shorts, because again, the secondary is playing so aggressive that the D-line has a extended opportunity to get home. And I think we've seen some of them, those situations where they've been able to play off of each other and find success.
Jack Ham often talks about on the broadcast the ability to read your keys.
Yep.
Now, back in the day, obviously, a fullback would be somebody that, Jack could read, because they'll take you where the ball's going to go.
Yep.
Can you sometimes, just on tape, pick out tells of offensive linemen as to whether they're going to pass block or run block?
Absolutely. And it's the first thing the guys look for when they cut on film on Monday for the opponent the next week. They're looking for pass sets. They're looking for maybe if a guy's light on his hands or maybe he goes heavy. There are certain guys who get into their stance a certain way, and that's going to be sometimes even 100% indicator of run or pass. Then you have things like where the Y lines up, the tight end, and his alignment based on that tackle, especially when he's off of the line of scrimmage. A lot of times his alignment will tell you if you're getting split flow zone or maybe you're getting something outside or even those cram zones. Those are all the things that defenses specifically are looking at as indicators for what they may get.
Because what I'll do in the broadcast booth, I'll look at a stance.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that's the part I can see.
Yep.
I'll look at a stance. How far back is somebody's foot?
Yep.
That tells me they're going to pass block. The other thing I look for is, what's the combination of receivers out there?
Yep.
They'll run three receivers out there. And I've said, they're running the ball here.
Yep. And it's funny because, like, once you're in it, people always, I'm sure the fans see on the TV, they see the cards that list personnel, and they see the other cards with these funky-looking cartoons and colors. But all of it, okay, those coaches are up in the box. They're looking at personnel and down in distance and who's on the field and where.
Yeah.
And that's what those cards are telling the defense because it indicates so much to them.
Right, exactly. Because, they'll run out a three-wide set. I'll think to myself, they've combined for three catches all season. They aren't throwing the ball here.
They're not throwing it there.
Because those catches were all in garbage time in the fourth quarter.
They're just
out there to just take up space.
Yep.
All right, and and the other part about looking at stances, how do you view this week's game?
I think it's a good opportunity. I'm excited because I think Penn State has the horses to go in there and get it done. And I think the keys to victory are keys that Penn State can execute upon. You know, stopping the run is something that I feel confident that Penn State's defense can do. And I think if they do that, Michigan's offense is going to have a hard time putting points on the board. Now, I look at, you know, how is the Penn State O-line going to hold up against what I think is a Michigan D-line that's impressive. And again, I look at the horses and I look at the body of work, especially in that Auburn game, and I think they can get that job done. And then, obviously, the biggest thing to me is you're going on the road into a tough environment, and Penn State has benefited now from going to Purdue and going to Auburn. This isn't a team that's timid in away games, and I think that they're going to capitalize this weekend.
Brilliant as always, my friend. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Jones. Appreciate you.
Neas Hawkins joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Next half hour, Nate Bauer. On3.com. Blue White Illustrated will join us. We'll talk with him about the game coming up tomorrow at noon. 10:30 will be the airtime here on WKOK. Don't forget, coming up tonight, Shikellamy Bloomsburg football at 7. Kevin and Greg Wetzel will be on the call tonight at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And of course, Sealands Grove tonight on Eagle 107. Lewisburg tomorrow night. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for...
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back on this Friday. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Time to stock up for one of the great sports weekends of the year. You've got playoff baseball. You have Alabama, Tennessee. Penn State, Michigan tomorrow at noon. 10:30 the airtime here on WKOK. Phillies playoff baseball, of course. Eagles and Cowboys coming up on Sunday night. What a great sports weekend this is. You need to stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the place to stock up. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. Six great flavors of slushies. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, personal favorites. Indeed, second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. So important. And a great service department. that right now has been so busy, and that's what happens when you have a dealership with a 107-year-old reputation. They've earned it. They actually have great technicians and need more. So whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person. Apply online at sunburymotors.com or give Todd a call at 286-7746. That's 286-7746. We now work our way out to the 18th green, where his work on Penn State, Michigan is absolutely done for the week, I'm sure. And that would be from on3.com, Blue White Illustrated, Nate Bauer. Sir, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. That's not accurate, and I'm missing a golf day today, but the work must be done.
I understand.
They demand it.
No, I understand that. All right, so go through a bye week. You've written a lot of articles, put a lot of thought in. So what is it through five games? Where is this football team right now, Penn State?
Yeah, I got to stop you to put a lot of thought in. The bye week is my mental vacation. But here's my issue. And even before we get to Michigan, when I look at Penn State, I see three games that I took something from and two games that I didn't really take a whole lot from.
Right, sure.
And the issue is the two games that I didn't take a whole lot from and can't really quite figure out are the two most recent. And so when you add and compound a bye week on top of that, it feels like a month since I've seen Penn State play a game resembling what I think they are or want to be. So that's kind of the conundrum that I have right now is sizing up who they are. Nick Singleton has changed. Catron Allen has changed.
Yeah.
The entirety of the identity of Penn State's offense. They create a dynamic that Penn State did not have last year. In terms of the ability to have a balanced offensive attack, their receiving options and quarterback play are not as dynamic as they were last year, but they're more than serviceable for what they've had to face to this point in the season. And defensively, I think Penn State's been really good.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I do. I think that they will continue to be very good. I think that the challenges that they have coming are, again, more than they've faced previously. They have not faced anything as versatile as Michigan will be, right? They have faced some one-dimensional offenses that are pretty good, but they haven't faced a team that can kind of beat you in both directions. So yeah, I feel like I have a pretty good grip on who these guys are, but this weekend will tell me much, much more than I feel like I presently know.
So flip to the other side. Has Michigan faced a defense this versatile?
This is
the part where I realize there's always this fatalistic attitude. Oh, they got this. They got this. Well, guess what? What do you have? Chopped liver?
Yes. Yep. I just watched this morning a YouTube bootleg of the broadcast, right, of a Michigan game. I just watched them against Indiana.
Yeah.
That was not an impressive win for Michigan. And they ended up pulling away, but that was a 7-point game into the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, it's tied with 7 minutes to go in the third, and Indiana had a touchdown called back. We're not so sure it should have been called back.
Yes. Yes. And so did I see a Michigan offense that was lights out? No, I didn't. Did I see a Michigan defense that was unstoppable? No, they had some sacks. I mean, that Indiana team is not impressive, but they moved the ball. They had opportunities. Blake Corum, I think, is – I don't know why. He reminds me a little bit of Evan Royster. I don't think he is – a home run, like he hit a home run in that game, but doesn't have you know, like, he's not going to blow you away, I guess, on his own. He's not going to make those plays on his own. It demands that, you know, as offenses do, a conjunctive or a cooperative effort, right? It takes that offensive line being good. It takes J.J. McCarthy putting them into good field
mm-hmm.
position.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I, Steve, I pulled some stats this morning. Five of the six offenses that Penn State or that Michigan has faced so far this season have been ranked 98th or worst in the country right. in scoring offense. And four of the defenses that they've faced so far this season have been 98 or worse in the country this season. Like, it's hard to get a good grip on exactly what they are, too.
Yeah. It's hard to get a read on them, in part because the non-conference schedule was not great. And now they've played in conference. Maryland pushed them to the wire. Even Billy Edwards, the backup quarterback, came in. He threw a touchdown pass. And, you know, Iowa, here's one of the interesting parts. Michigan has scored on its opening drive in five of the six games.
Yep. Right?
They played with the lead. They've also scored in their opening drive four out of six times to start the second half. So they've been good in those situations where it's given them the opportunity to play without as much stress. How about that?
I started to watch it. It's all blending together for me right now. But didn't Maryland fumble the opening kickoff?
Yeah, right off the face mask.
You know? So I think when you combine that, I'm seeing now what James Franklin was talking about on Tuesday, which is how the game changes for Michigan in the way that it has been dictated by time and score.
Yes.
The defense can change what it does for Michigan. The offense can change what it does for Michigan based on having those advantages. And so, yes, I think that Penn State will represent by far the toughest test that Michigan has faced to this point in the season. But I think that there's a counterbalance narrative that James Franklin is forewarning, which is very simply, don't put yourself in a hole. Don't go out to
exactly.
Michigan and find yourself down 14-0, because if you're trying to play catch up, it's going to be much more difficult to do. They're going to take the air out of the football. They're not going to be right. A team that you can just explosive play to death. That's not the way that it's going to work.
And the other element is, you talk about the number of sacks. Yes, they do get sacks, but how many of those sacks, and then watching the Indiana, it's a good example, how many sacks were, I'm behind, I got to throw the ball, and you know they totally have to throw the ball. And that's, you know, that's why when you start looking at numbers don't tell you everything. You got to actually watch the games to see, and that's where they've been able, and they do get sacks. They got guys, that, you know, Morris is really good off the edge. He's an impressive player. The couple, no doubt they have some impressive guys that can make plays, no doubt. But situationally, it's played to their favor as to how the games, because they've taken care of business, by the way, in the first three quarters themselves. I mean, they put themselves in that spot.
Yep, very much so. And if you think about it in context of what Penn State is, you don't want Sean Clifford to have to be under those circumstances
right.
either.
Yes.
You don't want Penn State's offensive line to be under those circumstances. True. You don't want to take the ability of what arguably is your best home run hitter in Nick Singleton out of the game and into pass protection.
Exactly.
Because right? Like those are the domino effects that those circumstances can have on the game. And I absolutely think that is James Franklin does it. It's very interesting to me because people talk sometimes about how I don't know if elusive is the right word, but that he doesn't say much at press conferences. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. He told you what's going to happen on Saturday or what the keys to the game for Penn State are,
yeah.
which is Penn State defensively cannot give up 5 yards on every first down. Can't do it, right? They have to be able to limit Michigan's running game on first down specifically, and force second and seven, force third and long. Get into those circumstances, and Penn State is in a much better position defensively than it would be otherwise. And on the offensive side of the ball, again, you cannot play from behind, right? You cannot find yourself in those circumstances, because it's going to be a tough hole to dig out of.
Yeah. Mike Shrewsbury did meet with the media today in Minneapolis as part of the Big Ten Media Days. What was your impression of what he brought to the table?
Yeah, it was the you know, kind of the greatest hits of the summer for him. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I've been having kind of this conversation with our message board and our online community at Blue White Illustrated, you know, trying to kind of glean some insights as things are going along here in the preseason for them. Nothing's really changed. You know, like they have more offensive firepower that they did last season.
No doubt.
And that is very much thanks to the introduction of Cam Winter from Drexel and Andrew Funk from Bucknell.
And they both, you're talking about a couple of guys that have more than 1,200 points apiece in their career. So
totally capable,
yep.
Experienced pieces that Penn State has added to the offensive end of the floor. But most critically, in terms of the narrative for what this team is this season, yes, you've lost John Hara, but Seth Lundy is a stud defensively. Jalen Pickett is a stud defensively. And if you can build around those guys, kind of carry over that foundation that you had last season and add to it a little bit of offensive firepower, you give yourself a better chance to win some of those games that they came up just a little bit short on. So, yeah, I thought he was good, but I didn't think there was a ton of, you know, new information, right? You know, of what this team is and what it can possibly be.
Look, the only new information that came out in the entire 2 days was how measured the commissioner was when it came to expansion. That's the only news that came out of it. What he said in July and what he said yesterday were not in the same ballpark.
Yeah,
he very measured about it. So
I'm not quite ready for basketball season, but I'm getting there.
Well, let me put it this way: when November 7th rolls around, I better be ready. So I'm. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I like what I've seen when I've gone. How about that? And I've gone. I've gone maybe 7 or 8 times. So
I like. I will be interested to see what the influence of Keba is, right, in terms of the interior of that offense and defensively, what he can provide Penn State in terms of a big.
It's Keba Jai, okay?
Yep.
As he said to me, he said, Mr. Jones, he says, the N is silent. I said, well, my last name's Jones and the J is not. So we had a good, I don't want to be, but it's Keba Jai is how you say it. Just so everybody, you know, knows when you go to the games, that's how you say it.
And he will be a name that I suspect Penn State fans will very quickly become familiar with and need to know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, really, a lot of potential, but also, let's face it, he'll need help. Because talking about Zach Edey, Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, he's got a big job against some really experienced guys. He'll endure it because he's a talent unto himself. But you think about it, you got a big job, man.
Yep.
And he does at a tender age. But you know what? Yep. He's got the talent. So.
And that's not, as you know, the only way the game is played.
Of course not. No.
Absolutely. You know, it's just not as critical as making three pointers. That's the bottom line. Is make threes and you could be in business. And Penn State, I think, is trying to do that.
They are better equipped from long range than they were last year.
Yep.
We're always better equipped with knowledge on the show when you show up.
Ah, stop. I'm blushing.
That was the goal. All right. Check mark another goal off for today. My friend, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
always appreciate you having me on. I will see you in Ann Arbor.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it, Nate. Thanks.
All right.
Nate Power on 3.com and Blue Wet Illustrated. Great to have him on the show today. Reginald Walker in the next half hour. We'll get his perspective. A lot of media perspective with Reginald. He's at a conference in New York, and he's going to join us from New York. In fact, John Oran's there from Sports Business Journal. He's the one that put it together. And because of that, it looks like we've got a really good shot of getting John on the show to talk about some of the media deals that are happening in college sports and sports in general, because the NBA, I think, is going to be the next really big one up. Obviously, the Pac-10's trying to negotiate something, and John and Andrew Marchand, and Andrew's been a friend of this show, he's been on the show many, many times, have talked on their podcast, and the media, that's a podcast, you know, in our profession, it's almost like must listen to get a real read on what's going on out there. And he's been reporting, for example, the Pac-10, Pac-12 is way apart. When they went through that 30-day exclusive negotiating period with ESPN and Fox, the Pac-10 wasn't even in the same realm with ESPN and Fox. Now, George Kliavkov, as I've said on the show before, he said, yeah, we get into these meetings and we read these reports and we laugh about them. George, you have a stake in the game. Andrew and John do not. Okay, their stake in the game is their integrity. Their stake in the game would be making sure their sources are correct. But they don't care whether you're inches apart or miles apart. They don't care about that. They care about being right. And that's the key part. Meanwhile, for the commissioner of the Pac-10, Pac-12, you know, his job's on the line. Let's be honest. His job is on the line. They've lost USC and UCLA. Now, quote, what do we do? It's not easy. He's not the reason they lost USC and UCLA. He is not. But it's his job to somehow keep the band together. Not easy. So when he's making statements, I always take it with more of a grain of salt, because he is fighting for his conference's survival, and he's also fighting for his own personal job survival. As simple as that. So we'll try and get John on. Now, we're going to get Scott Docterman on next week from The Athletic. He had a one-on-one sit-down with Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, where he talked about expansion and future expansion, because, as you notice, the commissioner was far more measured this time in his conversations about expansion. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Reginald Walker coming up in the next half hour here in the Sunbury Motors Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your years of patronage.